Schuster Audio presents The Klingon Way, A Warrior's Guide by Mark Okrad. Read by Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf and Roxanne Dawson as Milana Torres.
Until recently, the Klingon Empire and the United Federation of Planets had been at peace for some 80 years and allies for a quarter century. During that time, each society had come to know the other in ways neither could have imagined possible during the previous 70 or so years of antagonism. The Federation increased its knowledge of the Empire's history, politics, economics, and to a lesser degree, language and traditions relatively early on. This led to a thriving economic relationship as well as unexpected cultural enrichment. All this, however, may have come to an end as a result of the Klingon withdrawal from the Kittimer Accords, the peace treaty between the Empire and the Federation, following Federation opposition to the Klingon invasion of the Cardassian Union. Before the era of peace, most citizens of the Federation considered Klingons to be warlike, hostile, savage, primitive, rude, close-minded, threatening, aggressive, ruthless, demanding, temperamental, brutal, and generally rather unpleasant. As Captain James T. Kirk once put it, they're animals.
Though increased interaction with the Klingons did not entirely disprove any of these characterizations, it did make it obvious that such descriptive terms are incomplete. Klingons, it was seen, are efficient, loyal, cunning, strong, proud, and above all, honorable. Though some progress has been made, getting a firm grasp on the true nature of the Klingons, their basic character traits, their real values, and guiding principles, remains elusive. The fact that the Klingon Empire's response to the political situation in the Cardassian Union took the Federation by surprise has only underscored the real lack of understanding.
With the goal of re-establishing peace with the Empire, or at least of being able to predict what the Klingons might do next, the Federation's Scientific Research Council has launched an investigatory project to catalog Klingon beliefs about life and the universe. By examining the Klingons' own words, their moral and ethical values should become apparent. This compilation is the project's initial report, bringing together statements that directly or indirectly illustrate Klingon traditions, beliefs, and virtues.
It is hoped that this report will make a contribution towards the appreciation of Klingon identity and pride, and will help lead to the reconciliation of the two governments.
Kaplop!
We are Klingons. Klingon Mach! This is the strongest expression of joy among Klingons, and probably the most frequently heard Klingon phrase. It is used not only in the throes of battle, but on any other joyous occasion as well. When Kalis the Unforgettable, who united the Klingon Empire, was cloned years later, the replica retained the ancient Klingon attitudes. He said to Gowron, the leader of the Klingon High Council, "You have no joy, Gowron. Is your heart so filled with distrust and suspicion that you have forgotten what it is to be truly Klingon?" Klingons are born, live as warriors, then die. Bog Klingon pu shuwech pu moj heh. Klingons are born to fight and to conquer. Shumech hej chach mech bog Klingon pu. These two maxims express the belief that fighting and winning define a Klingon's very being. Everything else is superfluous. Unless they are engaged in battle or preparing for battle, Klingons become rather cantankerous, though to those unfamiliar with Klingons, this might not be noticeable. As a result, Klingons are likely to, at the slightest provocation, instigate a battle of some sort. I, Lieutenant Commander Worf, am well aware of the Klingon predilection reflected in these two sayings. Although I was raised among humans, I have always prided myself on my knowledge of Klingon history and culture. I observed that a potentially dangerous situation involving the Dominion and the Cardassians, which the Klingons viewed as a threat, has given my people an excuse to do what they were born to do, to fight and to conquer.
adhere to virtue honorably. Bak chob yapab. This maxim illustrates the importance of virtue in Klingon society. Not only should one be virtuous, adhere to virtue, that is, behave in a way Klingons consider morally righteous, one should take care to honor and respect those values. In other words, one should not merely endorse the values of the society, one should fully embrace their spirit and meaning. The Klingon verb in the expression pab is here translated adhere, but it is also used to mean follow, in the sense of following rules, suggesting perhaps that, though not officially laws, virtues should be followed as if they were. If it is in your way, knock it down.
Du baut tuch, je pumach.
I am Belana Torres. Although I was once split into two individuals, one fully Klingon, one fully human, by a Vidian scientist, the human part of me still retained my Klingon knowledge, if not my Klingon impulses. I cited this adage, illustrating the Klingon penchant for action and for taking control, when I had commented on the behavior of my Klingon self. We fight to enrich the spirit.
Ka widjet mech mashuv.
A more literal translation of this Klingon phrase is, we fight in order to feed the spirit, focusing more on the role of the giver of enrichment, the Klingon, than that of the recipient, the spirit. For Klingons, the spirit is something that must be cared for actively. As the clone of Kalis pointed out, fighting is more than a physical activity. We do not fight merely to spill blood, but to enrich the spirit. Interestingly, because of the homophony of the Klingon words for feed and buy, both je, the phrase could also be translated as, we fight in order to buy the spirit. If this is not mere coincidence, then perhaps, to the Klingon way of thinking, while one is alive, one must sacrifice or give up something, the way one uses credits or latinum when making a purchase, in order to ensure that the spirit is one's own. Klingons are a proud race, and we intend to go on being proud.
Chem Klingon Sheg, Ej Machem Tach Et Wechech.
The first formal meeting between the Klingon Empire and the United Federation of Planets, which eventually resulted in their alliance, was held on Khitimer, a planet near the Klingon-Romulan border. Representing the Empire was Azit Bur, who was appointed to lead the Klingon High Council after her father, Chancellor Gorkon, was assassinated by a coalition of those opposed to the impending peace. In her address to the conference, Azit Bur altered this saying slightly when she insisted that the treaty in no way diminished the stature of the Klingon Empire. We are a proud race, and we are here because we intend to go on being proud. Years later, as the Federation-Klingon alliance began to fall apart, Klingon leader Gowron still adhered to this virtue. When he discovered that his rationale for moving against the Federation was based on misinformation, he held his ground, maintaining Klingon pride by coming up with a new justification for his aggression. That the Dominion had not taken over the Cardassian government is of no consequence, Gowron said. All that matters is that the Alpha Quadrant will be safer with the Klingon Empire in control of Cardassia.
Great deeds, great songs. Tat me dun, bom me dun. Though the subtleties of Klingon music are not often appreciated by non-Klingons, songs are a very important part of our culture. For it is through song that much history, both political and personal, is preserved. Great accomplishments are commonly immortalized in song, as are Klingon attitudes. Because songs are repeated the same way proverbs are repeated, they help to preserve tradition as well as to teach the young. The singing of a song typically marks an occasion as momentous. Appropriately, Gowron once tried to get me to join his cause by referring to this element of Klingon culture. We will do great deeds in the coming days, deeds worthy of song. Klingons are also well known for their extensive collection of drinking songs. Choose to fight, not negotiate. Beshuv ech yuiv. Beshuv ech yuiv ho. If you must negotiate, watch your enemy's eyes. Bishut nishchug. Chachit mindutabej. While negotiation is not the Klingon's first choice of an approach to settling differences, it is not to be ruled out altogether. I myself have articulated the ideas embodied in both of these proverbs. In regard to the search for diplomatic solutions, I once remarked, "This is hopeless. Fighting would be preferable." On the other hand, when talk is called for, one must not rely on words alone. I prefer to negotiate eye to eye with my enemy. Brute strength is not the most important asset in a fight. Suvlutach vesh, ya bech hos nech. As vital as musculature and weaponry are in winning battles or maintaining control, other qualities are equally, if not more, important. The unstated significance of this maxim is that intelligence and judgment play key roles in any confrontation. When I learned that my father Moog, who had been killed by Romulans in the Kittimer massacre, was later falsely accused of treason, I decided to exercise my responsibility as a son and appear before the Klingon High Council either to clear my father's name or to be punished for his crimes. According to Klingon custom, even though I was the one bringing the challenge, I was considered the accused, since I would bear the punishment if the accusations against my father stood. During the course of the proceedings, I was not permitted to participate in any fights myself, but instead was defended by an aide, Chadich, which literally means second. After Kern, my younger brother and first Chadich, was wounded, I asked Captain Picard to be my Chadich. Though, as Picard pointed out, stronger men were available, I preferred the captain, undoubtedly because of his shrewdness and loyalty. Such qualities are valued more than physical prowess alone.
Real power is in the heart. Tick-tock, hoshnat, tutlut. In this phrase, the heart stands for one's spirit or principles. One's ability to exert influence over others comes from having a strong sense of morality, not merely from the ability to dominate by force. When the clone of Kalis was named emperor, the Klingon cleric Korath objected that it would be meaningless, since all power would still remain with the Klingon High Council. Worf used this adage to point out that Kalis's lack of political authority was not as important as his honor and virtue, which would make him an effective leader of his people.
When in doubt, surprise them. Beshov bej bet de klemer. This offering of wisdom is commonly understood as a suggested battle strategy. When you are uncertain about what to do in a confrontation, it advises, choose the course of action your opponent is least likely to be anticipating. Once, when the Enterprise entered a black void and nothing seemed to work properly, I suggested that we adhere to this Klingon tactic as Commander William Riker and I prepared to beam onto the USS Yamato, just in case the Federation vessel was not as deserted as it appeared to be. There are no old warriors. Suvlut putkan, tutlut bet. This does not mean that all warriors are young at heart. It is quite literal. Traditionally, if a captain becomes weak and incapable of serving, he is assassinated by his first officer. A similar arrangement is in effect for officers of lower rank. As I have put it, the Klingon system has operated successfully for centuries. The memory of you sings in my blood.
Bonde iwich kakao.
This is a line excerpted from a Klingon poem. Poetry plays a prominent role in Klingon mating behavior. The female typically roars, throws heavy objects, and claws at her partner. The male reads love poetry and, as I put it, ducks a lot. This particular line is interesting because it reinforces the importance of song as a memory-triggering device. The literal, though less poetic, translation of the line is, "When my blood sings, I remember you." Presumably, the blood's song concerns the beloved individual.
Listen to the voice of your blood.
Yulej goch yekroy.
For Klingons, blood is more than just one of a number of red-pink bodily fluids. It represents the animating force of life itself, that which controls basic temperament and character. It is strength. It is the commander making the decisions and giving the orders. With effort, its influence can be repressed, but never entirely ignored. For a warrior to get in touch with himself, to lead a truly effective life, he must pay attention to, or listen to, what his blood has to say. A warrior's blood boils before the fire is hot.
Touj pat kul poub shuv wit you.
This proverb suggests that it is better to take the initiative than to simply react to situations. Blood, the controller, does not need an external influence in order to heat up. One need not draw strength from the outside.
Blood and water do not mix.
Tight ta bech you bich je.
Just as blood is used figuratively to refer to power, water carries the opposite and negative connotation of lack of control. Strength cannot coexist with weakness within an individual or a successful society. Klingon scientist Jadan used water in this way when criticizing the influence the Federation had on the Empire. The blood of all Klingons has become water.
One is always of his tribe.
Rech tait chot duk toj je.
This is an old Klingon adage that years ago was rendered into Federation standard in the form cited using the word tribe for tuk, an ancestral grouping now usually translated as house. The literal meaning of the Klingon phrase is, a person and his house are always together. Though cast in terms of family, the expression can apply to friendship as well. The basic idea conveyed is that no matter what happens and no matter where one may go, one remains attached to family and significant friends. Drinking fake ale is better than drinking water.
Kluk mech hik neb kak lau bich kak push.
Fake ale is a term used to refer to a rather non-potent ale, perhaps akin to near beer. Again, the negative image of water, weakness, emerges. Anything is better than water. The less water-like, the better. Therefore, it is not surprising that Worf commented that the prune juice served to him by Guinan is a warrior's drink. It is not at all watery. The negative associations with water might also be seen when Worf commented to Counselor Deanna Troi, "Swimming is too much like bathing."
When a warrior goes to a battle, he does not abandon his friends.
Might duck, ja dit, shulit, ju put dash, lon be.
This is a strong statement about friendship and loyalty, for here the admired virtue is to make sure that friends have the opportunity to participate in battle. Three Klingon captains, Kang, Koloth, and Kor, were once ordered to stop a series of raids on Klingon colonies by a group of depredators led by an albino. Although their mission was successful, the albino escaped, promising to take revenge on the firstborn of each of the three captains. He did so by infecting the Klingon children with a fatal genetic virus. One of the children was the godson of Curzon Dax, a Federation diplomat. Dax was admired by the child's father, Kang, for his diplomatic accomplishments and his understanding of Klingon nature. The three Klingon captains, along with Curzon Dax, took a blood oath to find the albino and avenge the deaths of the children. Curzon Dax was a Trill, a joined species consisting of a humanoid host and a symbiont that resides within the host. When Curzon, the Trill host, was near death, the symbiont Dax was transplanted. The new host, Jadzia Dax, though considered another person, retains all of the memories of Curzon as well as of previous joinings. When the whereabouts of the albino were finally discovered, the three Klingon captains came together on Space Station Deep Space Nine to prepare to exact revenge. Jadzia Dax, the station's science officer, though technically not bound by Curzon's oath, wanted to honor it. Kang withheld his approval until Jadzia, drawing on Curzon's knowledge of Klingon ways, including the maxim cited here, reminded him, "No Klingon warrior would leave a comrade behind while he goes off to battle." Klingons do not faint. Vul chuch bat, Klingon poo. Klingons do not get sick. Rop chuch bat, Klingon poo. Klingons do not lie in bed. Kong dak dak. Quat bet, Klingon poo. Although these phrases are hyperbolic and known not to be literally true, there is a great deal of disgrace attached to being incapacitated, however briefly, and a general distrust of medicine. As other sayings have illustrated, Klingons value being in control. So having the need for medical intervention is a sign not only of physical weakness, but of spiritual weakness. As the Klingon crass put it when describing the Klingon attitude about ill health to the Capellans, "The sick should die, only the strong should live." As a member of Starfleet, I have voiced these and similar platitudes from time to time. I have an added reason to adhere to this virtue. A medical officer can override even a commanding officer's orders and is therefore always a potential threat to one's ability to maintain control.
Klingons never bluff. Not toj Klingon put. Masked by its simplicity, this is actually a very clever Klingon epigram. If Klingons do indeed never resort to deception, the statement, more literally, Klingons never deceive, expresses the truth. If, on the other hand, Klingons do mislead, then the statement is an example of that practice in action. Worf has made use of this phrase quite appropriately during games of poker.
Pleasure is non-essential. Ud bet bel. This Klingon truism is heard in one form or another, again and again, and probably dates back to ancient times when warfare was carried out not in space vessels, but on fields where only the most indispensable supplies could be carried. Not only are considerations such as comfort, ease, and enjoyment not part of the Klingon way of thinking, to find them even desirable might be considered a sign of weakness. Thus, I have explained to Riker that I am not concerned with pleasure. I am a warrior. The Klingon emissary Kalar, who was half-human and half-Klingon, and therefore tended to view much of Klingon culture from a unique perspective, noted that Klingons are not supposed to mind hardship. On the other hand, it is assumed that non-Klingons do not share this sentiment. When showing Picard and Data their slab-like beds on his ship, Captain Kavada said to them, "You'll sleep, Klingon style. We don't soften our bodies by putting down a pad." Though Klingon ships certainly could be designed to include various amenities, there is never any thought given to doing so. As Klingon Captain Koloth told Captain Kirk, "We do not equip our ships with non-essentials." There is always a chance.
Rek eb tutlu.
After Starfleet arranged for war exercises in which Commander Riker captained the 80-year-old Hathaway, Riker lamented that his ship was no match for the Enterprise. Even if it was just a simulation, he felt there was no way he could win. As the Klingons say, there is always a chance, which I told him, suggesting that what one lacks in physical power, one makes up for with guile. The common Klingon send-off, kapla, success, is another overt signal of this warrior spirit. Success is always possible.
Honor is more important than life.
Bak pok laut yin pok push.
The degree to which this Klingon virtue is revered is perhaps best illustrated by an action of Lieutenant Commander Worf. The Lieutenant Commander was unwilling to join Gowron, leader of the High Council, in his invasion of Cardassia, in part because to do so would have required him to renounce his oath of allegiance to Starfleet and the Federation. Gowron told Worf that this rejection carried serious consequences. Worf would be unwelcome in the Klingon Empire, his brother would be removed from the High Council, his family would lose its lands and titles. "You will be left with nothing," Gowron said. Worf encapsulated the true nature of being a Klingon with his reply, "Accept my honor."
If you cannot fail, you cannot succeed.
Beluj la bech shrug.
This maxim might also be translated as, if you cannot lose, you cannot win. I have told Riker, if there is nothing to lose, no sacrifice, there is nothing to gain.
If you cannot be shamed, you cannot be honored.
Betuch lach betuch, bekuv lach bet.
Honor, it would appear, cannot exist in a vacuum. One cannot experience the feelings associated with honor unless one has the capacity to feel and understand the utter lack of it. It is interesting to note how the Federation's perception of the Klingons has changed over the years. Initially, only the Klingons' warlike nature was noted. Klingons were viewed two-dimensionally and described as brutal and ruthless. Little else of their nature was known or, for the most part, cared about. Following the Khitomer Peace Conference, relations between the Federation and the Empire gradually improved. 50 years later, Captain Rachel Garrett, in command of the USS Enterprise NCC-1701C, would consider Klingons to be people, not objects of derision, and would render aid to a Klingon outpost on Narendra III, which was being attacked by Romulans. This action helped greatly in solidifying the Federation-Klingon alliance. Within the next 20 years, a Klingon, Worf, would join Starfleet and serve aboard a Federation ship, and a Starfleet officer, Picard, would actually participate in the process to choose a new Klingon leader. Recent events regarding the invasion of Cardassia notwithstanding, the Klingons are now seen to have a complex, multi-layered culture, in which not only combativeness and aggressiveness are valued, but honor, loyalty, and virtue play key roles.
A leader must stand alone.
Neteb shuvnish devrit.
Navigate your vessel alone.
Neteb dujlej yichij.
I cited the first of these similar maxims to Counselor Troy when she suggested that I talk about my feelings. As with many Klingon sayings, it is framed in terms of confrontation. It literally means a leader must fight alone. It refers to a basic tenet of Klingon society, self-sufficiency.
It is a good day to die.
Chech lut mech, kach jajvam.
This is an extremely common Klingon locution, often uttered when the odds seem to favor an opponent. It does not, however, represent a defeatist attitude. Quite the contrary, in a society in which warriors are so revered, to die in battle is a noble aspiration. Kang, of course, spoke ironically when, accepting the proposition that there was a chance to defeat an adversary, He altered this expression to, "It is a good day to live." Death is an experience best shared.
Hechlut de mo bet lut chuch. Kach kut cheg wanit.
One of the purposes of the Klingon tea ceremony, in which two friends share poisoned tea as a test of bravery, is to remind one of this truism. The ceremony, which is usually observed in periods of relative calm, between wars, probably came about as a way to reinforce and celebrate certain beliefs about warfare so central to Klingon culture. The ceremony symbolically acknowledges the dignity of death in battle, and it also pays tribute to warriors who battle alongside one another. To really succeed, you must enjoy eating poison.
Bechap kut mech tar dashop et dativnish.
This proverb suggests that the road to success is filled with peril, intrigue, risk, double dealing, and other challenges to one's existence. To be truly successful, one must not only deal with such hazards, one must revel in doing so. Klingons have always considered it truly invigorating to face danger. As Commander Krug said to Captain Kirk, while the Genesis planet on which they were stranded was quickly falling apart, "Exhilarating, isn't it?"
To die defending his ship is the hope of every Klingon.
Duj daj hub tach vesh, hej e tul hosh, Klingon.
To die in the line of duty is the hope of every Klingon.
Ku daj tach vesh, hech e tul hosh, Klingon.
To die while serving the Empire is the hope of every Klingon.
Wot toit tach vesh, hech tul hosh, Klingon.
Klingons are very concerned about their manner of death, so there are a number of relevant and similar sayings. Running through all of them is the idea that one's death should be honorable and purposeful. Clearly, this applies to warriors, but since not everyone can be a warrior, Klingons also value other forms of duty and service to the Empire. Therefore, my remark, "What a terrible way to go," upon learning that someone had died in his sleep, is the appropriate Klingon reaction.
Never leave without your batliff.
Bimej dit rech betlech lij yitlap.
The batliff, sometimes called the Sword of Honor, is probably the most Klingon of weapons. The original batliff was forged by Kalis the Unforgettable himself, and as a result, the weapon has rich cultural significance, not just sharp edges. This traditional admonition has a dual interpretation. As you venture out, always be prepared, and always maintain your identity as a Klingon.
Focus on but one target.
What dosh nech ibush?
Though cast in warrior's terms, this dictum is really about priorities of any kind. It suggests that one should concentrate all one's attention on the task at hand and not try to do several things at once. I express the same conviction when referring to poker. Talk or play, not both.
You salute the stars.
Chov me davan.
This is an unusual but not unique saying, because it refers to a legend that must be known in order for the phrase to be understood. Outside the Empire, the details of this particular legend are quite sketchy, but the story seems to have something to do with a warrior who is about to be executed and asks for permission to go off alone, unguarded, in order to salute the stars a final time. Sometimes the warrior is said to have wanted to say farewell to the stars. Saying farewell, of course, is an artifact of translation. Under most circumstances, a Klingon would never literally say farewell or goodbye upon taking his leave. He would simply walk away. If, however, he wanted to show honor or respect, he may offer a salute, often verbalized as kaplach, success. The request was granted, since even in ancient times it was known that a warrior keeps his word. Thus, you salute the stars means, I trust you, or I know you will honor your word.
A beard is a symbol of courage.
Toduj osh rol.
Though Klingons have a vast array of powerful weapons, the purest form of combat is hand-to-hand. Fighting in such close proximity to one another, a beard may be thought of by some as a disadvantage, since one of the combatants may grab onto the beard of the other and draw him closer. To wear a beard, and long hair for that matter, shows that one is both brave and confident, willing to give the opponent the upper hand, and secure that one's own skills are superior. Stop talking. Drink.
Bijak ekhemev, yekluch.
I have modified this old Klingon expression to a form more suitable for the enterprise. Less talk, more synthahol. Although I would prefer a true warrior's drink, while on a Federation starship, I must make do with the available fare.
A warrior fights to the death. Wedge chech chug vait shuv tach shuv wit. A somewhat more literal translation of this expression is, if someone has not yet died, a warrior keeps on fighting. That is, it does not matter who dies, but the fight is not over until one of the combatants is killed. Klingons attach little, if any, value to prisoners. Only those lacking virtue would allow themselves to be taken prisoner in the first place. A true warrior, and by extrapolation an opponent worthy of a true warrior, would rather die. No one survived Khitmer. This adage refers to an event and states its meaning by way of reference rather than directly. A Klingon outpost on the planet Khitmer was attacked by Romulans, who presumably killed everyone there, except the young Worf and his nursemaid, Kalest, who were rescued by Starfleet. When from time to time a rumor surfaced that there were other survivors, the rumor was always quashed. If there were survivors, the thinking went, they must have been captured, which would mean there are Klingons somewhere being held prisoner. This is intolerable, since both they and their families would be dishonored, and it is summarily dismissed as an impossibility. The phrase, then, is used to mean that an unacceptable situation is being rejected or denied outright. The literal translation of the Klingon is a little more blunt. Everyone died at Khitmer.
The used kutluch is always shiny.
Rech boch kutluch lot lut bo.
The kutluch is a handheld blade described as the ceremonial weapon of an assassin. Though cast in terms used in referring to a murderer, a persona not unknown to Klingons, the proverb has a more general application. Only if one plies his trade or practices his art with some frequency will he remain at the peak of his skills. The use of the kutluch by assassins does not mean the weapon is used by no one else, nor does it mean that assassins never use other weapons. The way the weapon is used for ritual is utterly obscure, but the fact that the kutluch has taken on a special status may explain why it has come to stand symbolically for assassination. Perhaps in a manner that parallels the connection of cloak and dagger with intrigue and espionage on Earth.
Shooting space garbage is no test of a warrior's mettle.
Vaj to duj daj nech bej divit.
Captain Klaw, apparently for target practice, destroyed a defenseless Earth probe. He felt no sense of accomplishment, and he complained to Vixis, his first officer, that what he had done was too easy and therefore unfulfilling. As Claw knew, a warrior's skills must be proved not only continually, but meaningfully.